when he said to me, he brought that scripture of Romans chapter 10. He goes, the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart. Say not where? Right here. Who shall ascend into heaven? Or who shall descend into the deep? But what saith it? Thy word is nigh thee, it's in your heart, and it's in your mouth. When he spoke that to me and showed me what he was talking about, he goes, if you're looking for the kingdom of God to manifest anywhere else than the veil of your heart, you are out of position. The first major crossroad you had to come to is realize I brought it down from heaven. Say not in a heart, you have to go back up there and get it. He goes, I brought it to you. I brought it when I sent the Holy Spirit. Having therefore been exalted into the right hand of God. See, Jesus was exalted. You know, when he told the church, he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. I mean, if he was here, he'd be doing a whole lot better job than the church right now, I can tell you. But he says, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. I said, Lord, we've been having the Comfort a long time. He goes, yeah, and you don't know what he brought with him. And so when we found out what he brought with him, when Jesus had to go away, the reason why he had to suffer the death, burial, and the resurrection, it was in that resurrection into the right hand of God that he became the appointed heir of the Father. He had to receive all that the Father had. That's what Psalms 2 was saying. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me now the nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That was the Father saying to the Son when he raised him into the right hand of God. He gave him the full inheritance. He had to receive it on the behalf of the church so he could give it to us. Had he not gone away, he could not have purchased that inheritance. But because he purchased it, when he ascended into the right hand of God, Hebrews 1 and 2 says he became the appointed heir of the Father. Hallelujah. Ascended into the right hand of God, and having therefore received the Holy Spirit from the Father. That's what Acts 2:33 said. He said he was the first to receive the Holy Ghost in the right hand of God, as we know. And the Father sent the Holy Ghost into the right hand of God. And we know what happened because John 16 tells us. He said, in the Holy Spirit, he will receive of mine. When did he receive of mine? And what Jesus said, he goes, in just case you're wondering what was mine, he says, all things the Father has is mine now. He gave me the fullness. And he says, he will receive of mine. He received that when Christ was ascended into the right hand of God. I'm in review. And so when he ascended to the right hand of God, he says, having therefore received of the Father, Acts 2:33, the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus hands him the inheritance. And then he sends him into the church with all of it in you. That's why he said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heavens to bring him back down again. Your heart must accept with full 100% confidence and faith that he brought it to you. The inheritance abides in you. He brings that inheritance and the Holy Spirit reveals it by a word. When he brings the revelation of that word and he reveals it to you, he's literally revealing the inheritance that Christ is going to bring through you. Amen? So go over to Genesis chapter 12. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you some new things from Abraham, a new perspective. Abraham's journey was recorded for us to understand how God brings heaven to earth, how God births into the earth. Because all the mistake Abraham made, we all make ourselves. Amen? But there's a process of how God's going to bring something eternal out of the heavens. What did he say? I supply all of your need here in the earth out of my riches in glory. That's a heavenly jurisdiction. You've got to know how that comes from heaven to earth. You got to know how God brings riches in glory as a spiritual inheritance and how it comes into the earth. Amen? That's what we're learning. Not just riches and glory, but anything pertaining to the kingdom. I just take it down the Mount Hebron route. But you have to understand how he brings it out of heaven into the earth. There is a process, and he doesn't do this, my friends. He doesn't do this. He doesn't start up here and go out here. He doesn't do that. And if you think it's in heaven, you're in the wrong position. Amen? Now, God comes to Abraham first in Genesis 12. He begins to plant the promise. Plant the promise. Genesis 12:1, he says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee. I'll make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. And in thee, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Don't miss the "in thee." In thee. In you. In you. It's coming out of you. "And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him." And Abraham was 75 years old. That's important. He starts at 75. We all have hope. Amen. Glory to God forever. He starts Abraham at 75. Now, he comes back to him again in Genesis 13. You can go there, verse 16, just for a minute. You're going to find yourself today in this message, I promise you. How many of you have received a deposit from heaven, a promise from God? Raise your hand. If you have received a promise from heaven, how many have been sitting on it a long time? Raise your hand. How many of you have suffered some divine frustration from that promise? Because you don't know how to get it from in here to out here. That's what we're working on right now. That's what our whole journey's been about, is how to get that promise into the earth. I know how to be full. I just don't know how to get in the earth yet. I didn't know, but I know now. I know it. I've been given the keys. I'm telling you, I have. I'm going to teach you how to bring what's inside you into the earth. Because you don't know how to get it into the earth, you're going to be one frustrated person. There's no frustration like somebody that's been divinely, have a promise planted in them and don't know how to get it from in here to out here. Some people think, well, God's just going to bring it out. He'll just have to do it. Well, that's half of it, but he's going to do it working with you. Abraham suffered all the frustrations you suffered. He did the same things that we do. We're going to watch this. Let's see. Now, God comes to him again in chapter 13, verse 16. It says, "I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, the sand of the seashore, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered." So God brings this promise to him, divinely plants it into his heart. Now, Abraham, he didn't have an Abraham to look at. He didn't have a Bible in his hand. This first time this has happened, God brings him this promise, and God's got to teach him how faith works. Now, the first thing Abraham does is like anybody else that's carrying a promise. When you get divinely impregnated by the Holy Ghost with a living word, it burns on the inside of you. It doesn't leave you alone. It speaks to you and talks to you in the morning. It talks to you in the afternoon. It talks to you at night. But the problem is when it's talking to you, you want to go do something with it. Have you ever been there? So Abraham, he's already in this process. He doesn't know what to do. He just knows, I got something on the inside of me, and I got to figure out how this works. So the first place Abraham looks, just like us, is outside. He looks outside. How God can manifest this. He's working his own system of thoughts, his own reasonings. He's going to try to figure out how God's going to do this, looking out here. Because as long as you're looking out here, you're still out of position. Now, Abraham, for a good part of his life, was totally out of position. It wasn't until the final year before the birth he got in position. And I'm going to prove that to you today. 25 years it took him to birth the promise. 24 years he was out of position. But it only takes 1 year to get in position and the birth will come. Oh, hallelujah. That's what God's doing. He's going to get us in position. Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. He's going to get us in position. Okay, looking at chapter 15. This is the first thing. This is what we do. How's God going to do it? Looking out here. If your faith is looking out here, you're wanting God to do it. Well, he's going to do it one day. He's going to bring it. And you're looking out here. Our kingdom, God's going to come down this way. You're out of position. In verse 1, chapter 15. Now, he's two chapters in. We don't know how old he is, but he's somewhere between 75 and 85. Because Ishmael comes at 85. Or the beginning of Ishmael. He gets birthed, actually, when Abraham's 86. But somewhere in here, he's probably 4 or 5 years carrying this thing now. He's already frustrated. You can tell by what he's about to say. He says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. This is what God does. He keeps coming to you, telling you the same thing. What we're looking for is some manifestation, demonstration. I need the word to become flesh. I was telling Anna, I said, I don't want to go to another meeting where someone prophesies to me. You may like that. I don't like that. I know what God wants to do. I need to know how to get it from here, here. Booyah. Verse 2, Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me, thou's given me no seed. See, he realizes his birthing faculties. God's told him, I'm going to make your descendants the stars of heaven. He told him that in chapter 12, told him again in chapter 13, but he realizes he can't give birth. So he's saying, well, Lord, how are we going to do this? So what's he doing? He's looking outside. This is what we do with our faith. We get out here trying to make something happen out here. Man, that is a land of trouble. That's Barney Rubble trouble out there. You get out there because you're looking out here for it to happen. We haven't learned how it's going to work yet. Amen? So he said, Abraham, behold, thou hast given me no seed. One born in my house is mine heir. See, you hear that? He says, hello, one born in my house is mine heir. He wants to make Eleazar his servant. He wants to make him the heir. He wants to just jump right in there in the promise, say, God, look, I have worked this out. My descendants will be as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. Look, I can't give birth, but here he is. Here's the heir, God. Take him. See, he's negotiating outwardly. God said, oh, no, Abram, we got a long way to go here. This is just not going to happen this way. So what's he telling? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. See, God's reaffirming he's coming out from within. The promise has to be birthed from within. Boy, when we learn to do that, woo! Verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad. See, now, what's he do now? He said, all right, Abraham, no, this is not how it's going to work. See, each time he's showing him something, but Abraham's not getting it. Told him in chapter 13, look at the dust of the earth, those are your descendants. Now look, he takes him back out. Verse 5, he brought him forth abroad and said, now look towards heaven, tell the stars, if thou able to number them, so thou seed shall be. So he gives him something else to look at again. See that? He's showing him, that's your descendants, Abraham. Now you think Abraham would stop with that. How many of you have carried something and you realize, I mean, you keep looking and looking and looking, these guys with these dates and these times, and every time you get a year, something's going to happen, you know, in this month and that month, and it doesn't happen. And, you know, you keep looking, you get this word, and you got all this expectancy, and you keep out here, and it just keeps ending up bankrupt. Not financially, I'm just saying the vision, just nothing there. It doesn't manifest. And you go through this. So now Abraham's going to take it to a new level here. Galatians chapter 4. It says Abraham had two sons. Every one of us, you've heard me say this, we have the capacity for two sons. Well, Abraham's about to kick in his capacity. Now, he goes within, but he's going in the wrong place now. So he moves from out here looking for it now to inwardly. But now he's going to operate from the wrong place inwardly, because you've got a capacity for two sons, and you're going to have to watch when you're operating inwardly. You got to work inside out with the kingdom of God, but it can't come from your flesh. And how many of you know what happens? Genesis 16 shows up right after 14. Now you can imagine he's 10 years carrying the promise now. He is frustrated as all get out, because all God comes to him and tells him what he's going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do, Abraham. This is what I'm going to do. I know what you're going to do. How? How? Sarah goes, I got the answer. She said it. Chapter 16, verse 2. And Sarah said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. Now, isn't that amazing? God gives them a promise, and her womb's dead. He can't give birth. Her womb's dead, but God gives the promise. Isn't that amazing that God will tell you, he'll give you a promise, but all your circumstances in the natural, you got a dead womb all around you. Anytime you're looking outwardly, I'm telling you, it's not coming from out here. You're not going to birth from the kingdom out here. It's not going to magically ride in on a white horse. It does ride in on a white horse if you know how it rides in, but it doesn't ride in from outside. That's not how the kingdom's coming forth. He doesn't bring it outside. He brings it from heavens through you. Through you. Now, Abraham's still being processed. So Sarah gets this idea, as you know. She says, since my womb's dead, I'm going to give you Hagar. And he goes, you have my maid, and there shall the heir. See, they both knew an heir's coming. Now, this is where it got dangerous. They moved from outside inside, but they moved into the wrong dimension. Remember, you have two sons. You've got the son of the flesh and spirit. Those are both internal operations. And when you give birth to flesh, ooh, there's still trouble, big time trouble. It's going to get even more trouble in the days ahead because of that birth right there. Ishmael birth, as you know. And God said, that won't do. Now, Abraham's 86 when Ishmael is given birth. So God sidelines Abraham for 13 years. Say 13. Now, you have to understand that all that trouble, every one of us have to go through that. If you've not tried to birth or try to bargain with God to get an Eleazar, go out here and just get God. Hey, how about this being the promise? You find out that wasn't the promise. Or you try to birth something within out of ambition. You know, and you find out that you birthed something that wasn't God, that wasn't the promise. We all go through that process, and the reason why God's got to get all that out of us first to get us ready. Amen? I want you to see something you might not normally see. Go to Genesis chapter 17. So we had the Eleazar, we had the Ishmael. How many of you ever been through that? Eleazar and Ishmael, raise your hand. I've birthed more than I want to account for, trust me. That's part of the process when you're carrying the promise. What you're going to find is you're going to come up into brokenness. That's a good place to be too, because that's when he breaks your capacity to birth any other way than his way. Now, a lot of people live in brokenness and say, well, God's going to have to do it. God's going to have to do it. And that's true. But you can't just live there either. You got to move on from there and start cooperating. And we got to learn how to cooperate with God. Now, Genesis 17, I mean, God's kind of been quiet for a while. That's what happens when we do it our way. God's quiet. And through that quietness, how many of you ever had to wait on God? You wait and you wait and you wait and you wonder why you wait so much? Because he's getting all that out of you. See, he's got to get all that out. He says, it's not coming that way. It's not coming through Eleazar. It's not coming from the flesh within. And see, that part's got to be broken. This is what the church is doing right now. They are trying to reveal, the church is presenting a gospel without power. I mean, there's a whole system set up now, just how to get a whole bunch of people in your church, just get them in and out, but nobody's being changed. Nobody's being transformed. There's no real power flowing. It's because it's a system we've created to make God look real good. You know, we can make God look good and present this gospel and have all this. What can we do to get you to come to our Sunday morning service so we can build all this and look real good? But it's still missing the mark because it's not being demonstrated the way God wants it demonstrated, because it has to be birthed God's way. And what happens? Eleazars show up. Ishmael show up. Human sufficiency shows up. And that's what's wrong with the church. It all looks good. Hey, Ishmael multiplied just like Isaac did. The difference was God said he will not be heir. He's not the heir. Isaac's the heir. Man, I'm looking for the heir. I want the real thing. Been too far. I know where it's at now. Woo! Hallelujah. Right here. If you're looking anywhere else for God to release his promise, then right here in the veil of your heart, you are completely out of position. Now watch this in Genesis 17, verse 1. Hallelujah. And when Abraham was 90 years old, he's 99 now. Now, you know that Isaac births at 100. I want you to keep that in mind. Genesis 21:5, I'll just read it to you. It says, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now, God comes him at 99. We got 1 year to work here. Now, he says, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee and multiply thee exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. So he tells him, you're going to be a father of many nations, Abraham. And he changes his name from Abram to Abraham. So he's giving him something to look at and something to say. Now, with that in mind, go to Romans chapter 4. He's 99. He's telling him, you're going to have an heir that's come out of your own bowels. Now, I want you to see God's report of Abraham right here in Romans 4. This is what he achieved before he gave birth. Romans 4, verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed. Now, we saw that in chapter 17 when God tells him, you're going to be a father of many nations at 99. Say 99. He gets the promise when he's 75. He's been carrying this thing 24 years and has birthed nothing. How many of you feel like you just go and you go and you go and you're not birthing anything? But all you got to do is give one birth. One birth out of heaven will transform the world. One word being made flesh. We, by this, we know the generations were framed by the word of God. The worlds, the generations, the eons were framed by the word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by the things that do appear. One word in your heart can transform a generation if you can bring it out of heaven into the earth. That's the power of birth. One person giving birth from heaven is more powerful than a million people giving birth to flesh. We have a whole lot of activity in the kingdom of God here in the earth, you know. We have very little true demonstration. God's going to change that. We are learning how to bring it from heaven to the earth. All right? He goes, before him whom we believe, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now watch this. He said, who against hope believed in hope. Look at this. Against hope, believed in hope. And he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. That was spoken in chapter 17 at 99 years old, right? And he says, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now being dead. For he was about 100 years old. He's talking about the time when God visited him at 99. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Somehow, some way, Abraham got that. He was talking about that visitation in Genesis 17 and 99 when God tells him. Now I want to go back and show you that Abraham, when God tells him that at 99, did not look like Romans 4 at all. At all. Go back to Genesis 17 now. You heard it. Strong in faith, giving glory to God of what he had promised, he was able to perform. Staggered not at the promise of God. All right. Now, God tells him this, Genesis 17, right? Now, look at verse 15. You're going to like this. He tells him this in Genesis 17, verse 1 through 6. Now, look at verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, And she shall be a mother of nations, and kings of people will be of her. Now here's Abraham, strong in faith, full of the glory of God, staggering not at the promise of God. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? That is 90 years old, bear? And Sarah, that's 90, can she bear? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. Strong in faith, giving glory to God, staggering not at the promise of God. He falls on his face at 99, laughing. Oh, that Ishmael might live. He is in utter unbelief. 24 years carrying the promise, he's still in absolute unbelief. Worse than ever. In fact, he says, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. You gotta be kidding me, God. Strong in faith, staggering, not at the promise. Do you know, within 1 year's time, he's going to give birth. He's in utter unbelief. In 1 year's time, he's going to give birth. Somehow, between that part right there and Romans 4 testimony, he found it. What he couldn't find in 24 years, he found it. In one. Well, I feel like that. Because I've been walking God for 24 years now. I'm 24 years old in the Lord. And what couldn't do for 24 years, we won't get it all in 1 year. Because I know how it's coming. I know exactly what happened to Abraham. I know it clicked in him one day. He found out how this thing works. Not only did Abraham laugh, Sarah, God's coming to him again, and she puts her ear to the tent. Let's just look at this. This is incredible. Both of them are in total unbelief. Go to chapter 18, verse 10. He comes to Abraham again. One thing God will keep doing, he'll keep telling you who you are and where you're going. Who you are, where you're going. Who you are, where you're going. He does that for a reason. Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. See, she had her ear to the tent, and she heard God talking to Abraham. Let's see what her strong in faith, giving glory to God, staggering not at the promise of God. And Sarah was well stricken in years. She was 90, he was 99. And ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself too. Saying, after am I waxed old, shall I have pleasure from Abraham? And she laughs. God hears her laughing. Said, I heard you. She goes, no, I wasn't laughing. He goes, oh, no, but you did. I heard you laugh, and Abraham fell on the floor. I heard what you said. You know, when Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live forever, he says, that's right, he will, because you said it, he will live, and I'll multiply his descendants as well, because you have authority in your loins, both the birth out of the flesh and out of the spirit. So here we are at 99, both Abraham and Sarah are both in utter unbelief. Both of them laughing, Abraham laying on the ground. But Romans 4, we know Isaac is born at 100. There's not a whole lot of time left to get this thing right. We know by Romans 4, they get the testimony that they stagger not at the promise of God. He did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, when he gave his testimony, he did consider the deadness of her womb. At 99, he was looking at her womb and said, there's no way. How did he get there? How did he cross the line? How did he step over? How did he do what he could not do in 24 years? In 1 year, he made it. How did he go from utter unbelief to complete faith? I'll tell you exactly how he did it. Against hope, believed in hope. Listen, as long as you're looking out here, you're in the wrong place. He realized that every time God spoke to him, he says, I want you to see the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore. He had to get that stuff in him. So the Holy Ghost is teaching us now. Say not in thine heart, who's going to ascend into heaven to go get him, to bring him back down again? If the promise of God to you is in heaven, you think that you got to bring it all the way down from heaven? You're out of position. He never asked your faith to come that far. What he did is he brought heaven to you and planted it on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost brought the inheritance in the form of the Word. He says, now, what I want you to do is understand that this Word, this living Word, it's very nigh you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. All I really want you to do is hold it right here. I want you to bind it continually upon your heart. For as a man thinketh in the domain of his heart, so is he. He goes, really, the only kind of faith I'm looking for is for you to have it here and for it to pass from here through the veil of the heart into manifestation. Abraham began to hold it right there. And when he did, he held the promise of God against hope believed, and he found that room of faith. When you find that room of faith, I had no idea how explosive it can be, my friend, how glorious the interior kingdom of God. When he says, when you pray, enter into thy closet, the secret chamber of the heart, and then pray to the Father there. Operate from there. I had no idea how big and glorious that place is and how full of faith it is and how the enemy cannot make entrance into it. We looked at this the other night. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Do you know those are two different things going on there? That's a jurisdictional transfer first. You believe that you receive. See, Abram had to know that the promise was in him. He had to know that it was there. It's out of my loins, against hope, believing in hope, calling things that be not as though they were. He called the dead womb to come alive again. But he held the promise within. He believed, he received. Listen, once you get it, you know it. There's nobody that's going to steal that from you. You've got it on the inside. You got to get it there. You got to get it in your heart. You've got to get it right there. And a lot of times the Holy Ghost is going to bring that to you, but it slips. The enemy steals it. He pulls it. He gets you looking out here. He gets you operating out of the flesh. Anything but getting that promise centered. And understanding and believing that that promise abiding in your heart is your answer. Because the Holy Ghost is going to bring it through the veil of the heart. And when he does, manifestation. Everyone say manifestation. He gave birth to Isaac in 1 year. Glory to God. Now let's shift gears a minute. Go back over to Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. I tell you, I found this place in the heart. I found this operation where you can hold the promise of God in your heart. And when you do, it begins to grow. It begins to grow and begins to grow. How do you think God's going to bring that thing through your life? You hold that. And it begins to grow, and it begins to multiply, and it begins to grow and multiply within. And that thing gets bigger, larger than your circumstance. Now you're getting ready for birth to come forth. Amen? Now, last night was an interesting night. Now, how many know, during the series, I've been talking about how I hold the mountain of Mount Hebron into my heart, because I know that mountain represents the mountain of generational inheritance. Now, the Holy Ghost told me this. He goes, you know that the Lord himself inherited that mountain. I said, yeah, I know that. Because he carried the promise of generational inheritance when he told Abraham, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And he carried that promise. Isaac carried it. Jacob carried it. Now, they were all buried in that mountain. I want you to see this. Go over to Genesis 49. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? You don't have to go that far, my friends. It's all right here. He brought it to you. What saith it? Thy word is very nigh. Put your hand on your spirit and say, thy word. Thine inheritance, it's very nigh me. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. That's where you got to work it right there. Let me tell you the difference between the world system and us. The world system will teach you the power of positive thinking because there is a dominion mechanism God set up when he said, let man have dominion. What going on the interior of your life will manifest on the exterior. If you're broken down in here, it's just a matter of time. Things will get broken down around you because what's going on in here will manifest out here. That's part of the dominion mechanism. What separates us from that is God works in the veil of a born-again spirit, the heart that's been born again. The Holy Ghost comes in there. Now, he's doing more than just manifesting an image. He's manifesting a kingdom. He came to bear the kingdom, to bring the kingdom to rest in your heart. He comes to manifest it with supernatural demonstration. The world does not have access to that. Now, they can do positive thinking. They can create an environment around them. But we have the Holy Ghost who's brought the kingdom of God. Amen. He put it up in us. He's in there. He said he'll abide with you forever. Forever. Now, Genesis 49, I just want you to see this. Now, you got to remember these men, these patriarchs of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they carried this promise. I'm going to show you something marvelous here. They carried this promise. And now Jacob, he's in his final days, and he's his final request in Genesis 49, verse 29. He said, he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought, the field of Ephron the Hittite. Verse 31, therefore they buried Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Leah. And then verse 33, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet under the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. So all of them were buried right there in the cave of Machpelah. Now just drop over to chapter 23, verse 19. I want to show you something here. Genesis 23, 19. Now, see, Abraham carried this promise, but it was just more than birthing Isaac. I'm going to show this to you in a second here. I'm combining now Mount Hebron with Isaac. Genesis 23, verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron. See that? Say the same is Hebron. They were all buried in that mountain. They all spent a lot of their life when they weren't in Egypt around that mountain. They dwelt in that mountain. They were buried in that mountain. 400 years later, you remember children of Israel come? We've been into this just recently. Sent the spies, children of Israel. Went in. They go down where? They go down into Mount Hebron. And that's where they find the grapes. That's where they find the produce. That's where Abraham and all of them were buried. That anointing was buried up in that mountain. And we know Caleb of Judah, he inherits that mountain. We also know that King David was crowned in that mountain. There was this incredible history. And that was what launched. When David was crowned king first in Mount Hebron, that's when his financial reign began to take off. It began to multiply. Because that mountain was the mountain of generational inheritance. It was the planting of the Lord. God put that anointing in that mountain. No, Abraham carried that mantle and said, in thee, Abraham, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He put that, and I knew the Lord inherited that mountain. I knew it when he ascended into the right hand of God that he inherited the inheritance of that mountain. I knew it. But I just got confirmation last night. Because whatever he gets in the right hand of God, guess what? The Holy Ghost brings down to you. When the Holy Ghost brought that down to reveal, he was not just revealing the knowledge of an inheritance. He was bringing the inheritance. He goes, I want to birth this mountain again. I want to birth the mountains of kings, the mountain of Caleb, the mountain of David, the mountain of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the mountain of the Lord. That's good stuff. Now, before I get there, go to Romans chapter 4. Show you some marvelous things here. Let's tie in what Abraham's life was all about. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise, all those promises to Abraham, are you ready for this? That he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed or his lineage, his offspring, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Do you know what that means? When God came to Abraham and he tells him, you're going to be the father of many nations. And really, he said that promise really wasn't to Abraham, though he became the father of many nations. He was really talking to somebody else. As you know, Galatians says, he says of seeds, not as of many. Galatians chapter 3, but that seed that is one, which was Christ. The whole time he was promising to Abraham, he was actually promising to a seed that would come down through his loins. It wasn't through Abraham, nor was it through the seed, through the law. All those that carried the law, they didn't inherit the promise. They could not inherit because it was for one to inherit. So it wasn't those through the law, through the history of the Old Testament. They weren't the true inheritors. Because the promise that he would have an heir. Guess who inherited the blessing of Abraham? Christ. He was the heir to whom all the promises were made. Why did God have to do that? Because his first heir fell, sold his dominion out. He sold his inheritance to the enemy. The enemy became the god of this world system. So God says, I got to get back in to have authority in the earth and bring heaven back in the earth. I have to have a new heir. I'm going to make a covenant with Abraham, and I'm going to promise him, now listen, that I'm going to bring an heir. Now, Abraham's going to get blessed, but the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham. There was an heir, an appointed heir, a seed singular, Christ, whom all those promises were made, that when he came on the scene, he said, this is my son, this is my heir. Now, we know Hebrews, when he ascended into the right hand of God, he was the appointed heir. The Father, the Lord said, you are the heir. All the promises are now fulfilled in you. I give it all to you. That's when Jesus said, all things the Father has are mine. It was expedient for you that I went away. I had to come and then I had to go. Because when I died for you and I was raised, I became the heir of all things. That's everything, all power, all authority, all the riches in heaven and earth. And I knew that he inherited that mountain. I knew it by revelation. Because it was the mountain of generational inheritance, and he was the seed to which all those promises were made. I knew that. Now I got it. Go to Galatians chapter 3 real quick. I got a mountain on the inside of me that's very rich in history. And it's going to release into the earth because Jesus has shared it with me. Galatians 3:16. You think it's coming out of your flesh or the church's flesh? You got to be kidding me. God's going to demonstrate his kingly anointing in the earth again. He is a king that's inherited all things of the Father. And he has sent the Holy Ghost to bear witness of a kingdom. Both a kingdom of kings and a kingdom of priests. And he's going to bear witness again. He's going to bear financial testimony in the earth. And you're not going to sow $1,000 seed to get it. I'm telling you right now. You're not going to get this mountain like that. That's not how this one's coming. You're going to have to show a little more respect for this mountain. Chapter 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made that he would be heir of the world. And he saith not in the seeds as of many, but as of one. and to thy seed, which was Christ. He was the heir, and he is the heir of the world. That means when he ascended into the right hand of God, God gave him all of it. Say all of it. Whatever you can see that he inherited in the right hand of God, guess what? You can have it. You can see what he inherited because he inherited it. Why is it expedient for you that I go away? If I go not away, I can't send the Holy Ghost. But if I can go away, I'm going to send him. And he's coming and bringing you something. All things the Father has are mine. He's going to receive it because the Father's going to send him to me in the right hand of God. I'm going to hand him the inheritance and I'm going to send him to you. And if you can see what I inherited and understand what he's brought to you, you can have it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you be Christ, is that you? Then you are Abraham's seed. Guess what? You're an heir of the promise. And you're an heir according to the promise. My friend, you are an heir to everything Christ inherited in the right hand of God. You're an heir now. Now we got to learn to get it from there to here. That's what we're working on. Good Isaiah 65, 9. I had a fit over this verse. Now, you know that Mount Hebron is in the land of Judah. You can look in the book of maps in the back. When he gave all the lands, Judah had Mount Hebron smack dab in the middle of the territory. I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect, or my chosen, shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Notice he said mountains. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, the lion of tribe of Judah. I will bring an inheritor out of my mountains, all of my plantings, all of my mountains, all of my generational inheritance, all of my dealings, all of the history. I'm going to bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah. I'm going to raise him and he will inherit all my mountains. Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ, inherited that mountain in the right hand of God. He was the single solitary heir that inherited that mountain. That's why the Holy Ghost could bring it back down. It said, I want to bring it into the earth again. Because you are a joint heir to that promise. You're a joint heir to the mountain of kings. Whew. That stuff gets me excited. Out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, he inherited the wealth and the generational inheritance. Worthy is the Lamb who has received power, riches, all of the planting of the Lord. When he came into the right hand of God, he's the appointed heir. Give it all to him. Psalms 2, when he was raised into the right hand of God, he goes, now, my only begotten son, ask of me. I will give thee the nations as thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth. When he ascended into the right hand of God, the Father gave him all of it. Gave him that mountain. That's why he can give it to you and me. He says, in mine elect, so the inheritor of his mountains is Christ. And mine elect, look at this, mine elect, my chosen shall inherit it. Say, that's me. That's me. That's me. And my servants will dwell again in this mountain. It's a spiritual mountain now. He took it up in the right hand of God, but it has all the wealth. All the treasures of that mountain. The Holy Ghost brought that in and started revealing that mountain again. See, that was, he said, that word is not in heaven that you have to go up and get it. It's not in the earth. Not in the depths, you got to go down and get it. He goes, but what is it? I brought it to you in the form of a word. He brought the inheritance. He goes, it's in your heart. It's in your mouth. Say, it's in my heart. This is the final veil right here, my friends. You don't have to go anywhere else. Abraham didn't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to go anywhere else, but right here into the veil of the heart. This is where it's all going to birth out of. Our single sole responsibility is to get pregnant, hold it, keep it, dwell in it, see it. Let that living word overtake you within. Pastor Chuck just started doing this. He called me the day and said, I got it. I understand it now. Because you got to speak through. You got to get that word and you move through the image of that word. I said, that's exactly right. This is how you bring the kingdom of God into the earth. He brings it into the incubation chamber of your heart. This is the womb for which it's going to birth from. You don't need to look any further than right here. If you are looking any further than right here, you're totally out of position, just like Abraham was. Once you learn to move into this, you're going to find the place against hope. You believe in hope. You're not going to stagger anymore at the promise because this thing's going to start exploding on the inside of you. You've got to get in there and allow the Holy Ghost to release that living word. You got to hold that word in you. Until it breaks out of the veil. And as soon as it breaks out of the veil, one word out of heaven breaks out of the veil of your heart will be transformed. It'll transform your generations. Amen. Glory to God. Father, seal this up in us. More importantly, Holy Spirit, help us to do this word. To do this, to keep it in the midst of our heart, to bind it continually upon our eyes, to have it upon our mouth, right here in the midst of the birthing chamber. This is your wisdom, Father. This is how the kingdom comes forth. Out of the veil, thy word releases and becomes flesh into the earth.